This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Night 24, and we've got 5 more tarawihs left before the day of Eid. 5 more nights for us to make as much as we can. Allah grant them to be fruitful. Ameen. We're talking about the fourth story of Surah Al-Kahf, the story of Dhul-Qarnayn, this great leader who had traveled and had different encounters. And we continue to discuss, before we talk about Ya'juj and Ma'juj and the signs of Qiyamah, I think we need to talk a little bit more about leadership. Because this ummah currently, one of its greatest problems is the crisis of leadership. Crisis of leadership. Two problems. We have bad leaders, and more worse than that, we lack leaders. So those that are there are not doing the job properly, and the rest of us are not fulfilling that gap. So for those of us who are in leadership, and leadership is not just to be understood as the Khalifa, or the Imam, or the ruler, or the president. The Prophet says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all of us are shepherds. Even the slave is a shepherd, in the sense he's also responsible for certain things. Meaning, we are all leaders, and we all have responsibilities. And whether it might be in work, if you're a manager of people, you're a leader. If you're a father, if you're a mother, you're a leader. If you're a teacher, you're a leader. All of us have leadership responsibilities. And we say that this is of the most difficult and toughest tests to pass. Leadership, fulfilling that amana, fulfilling that responsibility is a huge, huge test. We said Surah Al-Kahf is all about having been given a responsibility, been given wealth, been given knowledge, been given youth, leadership. How you respond is how we will be asked about on the day of Qiyamah. So things from Dhul-Qarnayn we learn about effective leadership, an effective leader. Of the things that he does is, number one, he's selfless. We said that yesterday. When he was offered money, he said no. Leadership is something that you do selflessly. You are a parent to your kids selflessly. When you are with your employees, those that you manage, you look to develop them and grow them without your own personal gain. It makes the successful leader is when his followers can actually go beyond him. That's a successful leader. You see from Dhul-Qarnayn justice and fairness in the way he leads people, in the way he manages people, the way he is, as I said, for us in our context maybe, the way you are in the committee, the way you are as a boss. This is how you should be, just and fair. And then the people will love you, and your followers will obey you. And you need to be concerned and informed. Subhanallah, Dhul-Qarnayn comes to a people who couldn't even speak his language. And he finds out what's their problem. Now this is maybe in today's times, you would think the CFO or the CEO of a company, knowing, subhanallah, the lowest level of person in the government, the lowest person, what are their concerns? Dhul-Qarnayn brings himself to this level. He finds out what is the problem that you have, and he finds a solution for them. He's also good, effective leadership. And as we said, our ummah, even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah commands him to do things with shura, mashura. We are not one man shows. That's not how it goes. That we need to surround ourselves with good people as well. We said this in the Jumu'ah this afternoon. Hadith that says, if Allah wants good for a leader, He surrounds him with good wazirs, good ministers. So that when he's out of line, they keep him in check. And when Allah wants bad for a leader, He puts yes men around him. Whenever he wants to do something, they just said yes, go ahead. And they support him in whatever is wrong. So, part of mashura. Yes, sometimes it's a headache, having to consult everyone, having to discuss and debate. But this is part of our ummah and our legacy. And this is what brings out good leadership. Mashura. We should never stop that dialogue. Dhul-Qarnayn, all his power, all his energy, he still sits down with these people who he couldn't even speak with. And he said, look, this is the plan. Effective communication. And he says, I will lead from the front. I come first, but you support me. That is great leadership. That's what we're talking about. Now this ummah, for almost 100 years now, we've not had a khalifa. In the history of Islam, this is something strange. That we are a people without a leader. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ was so strict on leadership, he says, if 3 of you go out on a journey, you should appoint an imam. If you go out in a group, you should always have a leader. Why? Because it is the symbol of this ummah. Look at our ibadah. We have an imam, and the rest make salah, we follow. This is how this deen is structured. That there's always a leadership. A group without a leadership is lost. is without basically guidance. So we have lost political leadership for almost 100 years. It's a very strange time, and perhaps one of the signs of the impending towards the end of time. And therefore, without leadership, we lack direction. Where's the ummah going? We see the ummah on fire throughout the world, but we ask, whose responsibility is it? Who must take up the charge for Palestine and Syria and Burma and Kashmir and? Whose responsibility is it? We don't have a leadership. We don't have a vision. We don't have a solution. This is of the problems that we have as an ummah. And therefore, we've become so easy to be exploited. And we're being picked off one by one because we're not unified behind one common leadership. And therefore, worse than having bad leaders is the lack of leadership that we have. Not that we lack people with the skills. We're an ummah of 1.6 billion people, almost 2 billion people. Wallahi, we have great people in this ummah with great ingenuity, great knowledge, great financial means, resources, and great leadership abilities. But we are not bringing it out to the fore. Why? Because there is this disease of apathy in this ummah. Everyone says, it's not my concern really. We're waiting for someone else to take up the challenge. This is their concern. So today, subhanAllah, and may Allah forgive us, we all have cell phones. We see this literally, we see this on our cell phone. Have we not seen war? People being killed, bombed? We did nothing. What's our excuse going to be on the day of Qiyamah? What did you do? I said nothing, I did nothing, ya Allah. We saw people dying of hunger. And now when we go through fast, we know what that means, someone to die without having food. What did we do? Nothing. We saw people fleeing their homes, whether it is Burma, whether it is Kashmir, whether it's the Middle East, people running away as refugees, children as orphans, people dying of war and famine and disease. What did we do as an ummah? What did we do? Nothing. Subhanallah. Right? If at most we maybe felt bad, we put a few rands in a towel, we made an EFT, but that's not enough. Locally, here in our small community, people coming into our areas, changing our culture, changing what we've our legacy. We see unfit people running and ruling from a political level, from the highest of levels to the lowest of structures. People who are unfit to rule. People who are not taking us any good in any direction. We see criminals roam freely. We see institutions, organizations dysfunctional, not moving forward. So this is the symptoms of our ummah as it is right now. Something we can all agree on, whether you're here in South Africa or you're in Bangladesh or you're in Saudi Arabia, we agree this is the symptom of the ummah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet peace be upon him, speaks about times like this. The Prophet subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in a hadith Qudsi, Allah himself says, I shall take revenge on the oppressor in this life and in the next. And also Allah says, I will take revenge on someone who saw a person being oppressed. He was able to help him, but he did nothing. He didn't do anything. Now we cannot all say 1.6 billion of us, there's nothing we can all do. All of us collectively, we can't do anything. That's not enough. That's not a good enough answer. The Prophet, peace be upon him, says, indeed, you will enjoin good and forbid evil, and you will take the hand of the oppressor, and you'll persuade him to act justly, and he'll stick to the truth, or Allah will cause involve the hearts of some of you with the hearts of others, and a curse will be upon you. Allah's curse will be upon us. May Allah protect us. Another hadith, the Prophet says, by him in whose hand my soul is, you either will start enjoining good, encouraging for the good, proactively encouraging good and proactively stopping evil in this world, or Allah will certainly send his punishment on you. And what is that punishment? When you make dua, it's not accepted. So ya Allah, 1.6 billion of us are making dua. When are you going to help us? When are you going to help us? Well, Allah says we're not doing our job. The very, very famous saying, it's not that we have extraordinary evil people. Yes, they are very, very evil people, subhanAllah. Very, very evil people. You'll find them on CNN and BBC. Right? But worse than that, as we said, the only thing necessary for the evil to triumph is where good people do nothing. Where we do nothing. And that is our problem, and that is our urge, our call for the 1.6 billion of us that have skills, that have resources, that have ingenuity, that have ideas. When we see something wrong, and we can all list a whole list of complaints about the MJC, about the masjid, about the committee, whatever it might be. Alhamdulillah, bring those complaints. But don't complain from armchair critic. Don't do it in your living room. Come to the masjid and do it for the sake of the ummah. We need proactive people to become proactive. So if we look at the symptoms, for example, whenever we see a crisis, want to name the crisis. Every week there's a new one, subhanAllah. Right? Every week there's a new kind of crisis. And the response of us on the ground, we ask, well, what are the leaders, what's the MJC doing? What's the government doing? What's the imam doing? What's the committee doing? What are the ulama doing? What are the teachers in the schools? When we look at our schools, are not functioning, the kids are not progressing. Well, what is the school doing, the principal doing, the teachers doing? We are the rich, they are the ones that are supposed to help. No, the problem is in the poor area, crime, that's their problem. And we start pointing the finger and shifting the blame. This is not how the Prophet ﷺ ran, you know, this is not the sunnah of the Nabi ﷺ. When the Ahzab, when the Confederates were about to invade Medina, the Prophet put it out ﷺ to the whole community. Do you have an idea how we're going to defend Medina? A slave, one of the lowest in society in terms of his status, Salman al-Farisi, a man who is lower than your domestic worker, really a slave, he is the one that comes up with the idea, let's build a trench. Because everyone felt we have something to contribute. So every single one of us has something to contribute. And we need to begin to shift our concerns from only being, you know, I'm busy, my kids, my work, we're all working, we all have kids, we are all busy. But if we just stick to our own problems, our own life goals, our own ambitions, this ummah will not move forward. We need to start giving of ourselves, not money, when I say of ourselves, our time, our energy, our efforts, to something bigger than ourselves. That is leadership. Now, we cannot blame, and it's easy to blame the leaders, well, at least that bad leader, he stepped up. He went to go sit on the committee. He went to go to meetings. He is making a decision. We are sitting in the lounge doing nothing. So that bad leader, at least his excuse on Qiyamah, he can say, Ya Allah, I tried my best. That's what I did. They didn't do anything. They just point the finger and said, it's my fault. So every single one of us needs to make it part of our life duty to get involved in our community. When I say community, it doesn't just have to be Islamic community. Get part of the civic, part of the school PTA, part of the masjid committee, part of the neighborhood watch, alhamdulillah. But just be part of something. And that's why, look at our aspirations. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this great verse to us. And we only have the right to quote this verse really, if we live by it. When Allah says, kuntum khayra ummatin, that you are the best generation of people ever created of mankind. Remember, Nabi Adam is number one of all creation. The angels bow to him. And of all the generations of Nabi Adam, this ummah is the best. Only when it does what? تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ It proactively encourages good in society. وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ And it forbids evil. It stops all kinds of evil. وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ And they believe in Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to us, let there always arise from you a group of people calling to that which is good, enjoining al-ma'roof and forbidding evil. And وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ And that is the people who are successful. There always needs to be a group that stands up and leads this ummah. Always there has to be. And that's one of the reasons why we don't have groups like this. People don't stand up anymore and say, well, we see people burning tires. What's the reason? What are we going to do about it? We see, name the problem. What are we going to do about it? Book up. Just take it here, literally. People complain to me all the time. We have so many tourists coming in here, but not one cent goes to the development of Book Up. Well, who's going to get up and say, well, I've got a plan. I'm going to do something. What are we waiting for? No one's going to do it for us. We have to fix our own problems. And something very beautiful, and I say this alhamdulillah to those who give their time to the masjid. It's not easy being on masjid committees. It's not easy. I know you take from your family time, you're working, and then you come to the masjid and you argue and have meetings where subhanAllah, you know, fists are about to go. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the mosques of Allah, they are maintained only by those who believe in Allah, and they believe in the last day, and they establish salah, and they give zakah, and they fear none but Allah. It is they who are expected to be on true guidance. And it's interesting when Allah puts that last part, they fear none but Allah. You have thought this is the description of the mujahid, right? That they fear none but Allah. But if you want to be part of the masjid committee, the mutawallis of the masjid, you don't fear anyone. You make a decision, even if it's unpopular, you make that decision for the sake of Allah. That's why one scholar said, the reason why our marriages are not working, it's because the men used to be on the masjid committees, they're not anymore. So when they're frustrated from work in the past, they came home with their frustrations, they didn't take it out on their wife, they took it out on the masjid committee. Now, we're not part of the masjid committee, we take our frustrations out on our family, that's why our marriages are not working. And of my, just side note, yes, subhanAllah, of my youngest, fondest memories, you know, is sitting around the supper table with my grandfather, may Allah preserve him, and he was part of the committee in Paul. And always, you know, you know, you'd mention about the politics in the Jama'ah meetings. And I thought, what terrible place is this Jama'ah? It sounds like Jahannam, right? There's always arguing and fighting. But subhanAllah, that's what really keeps you alive. Working for the community. You know, subhanAllah, that will give you the greatest pleasure. If you don't have, you know, some social activism in your life, you're not part of a feeding scheme or something, wallah, you won't taste true happiness. The biggest joy in your life is to see something bigger than you flourish. The people that I find that are happiest and that successful, not in terms maybe financially successful, but successful in their life, are people who are devoted to community work. If you never experienced that, all you thought about was your own problems. When am I going to get my next car, my next holiday? That was your own focus. You live such a small, closed life. Too many of us are living like that. And wallahi, as I said before, this community here in the Bukab was built not by professors and doctors and lawyers. Very simple, plain, uneducated, poor people built this community, and it's thriving. We have lots more talent, lots more opportunity, lots more powerful, educated people now in our community. We should be taking this ummah to the next level. But it's not going to work if all you think about is your next holiday and the next car and the next fun thing. Rather, put that energy in the masjid. Put that energy in the school. Put that energy in the community. And subhanAllah, you will see automatically that leadership is not going to fix itself from the top down. It will start from the bottom up. Let's fix the masjid on the corner before we get to Masjid Al-Aqsa. We talk about Masjid Al-Aqsa. We haven't even, there are masjids that are standing, falling apart. They don't have electricity here in Cape Town. What about Masjid, subhanAllah? We need to get there step by step. We need to get there step by step. So may Allah subhanAllah, so this is the absence of leadership, and therefore this is the call, the urge that everyone give of yourself for the community. And this is one of the things we learn from Dhul Qarnayn, this great, great leader. Tomorrow inshaAllah, we'll get into the detail as to what is Ya'juj and Ma'juj. Who are they? What are they? They will overrun the world in a time close to a part of the days before Qiyamah. In fact, Nabi Isa himself will encounter them and he will not be able to defeat them. So we'll talk about Dajjal and the 10 signs of Qiyamah and Ya'juj and Ma'juj tomorrow, inshaAllah. As for this evening's question, last night's question, Afwan, we said, what is the name of the register of the good souls? So those who pass away, their souls, Allah says, will be recorded in their book. Those are the successful ones. May Allah grant all of us our names to be in this book. The book of Illiyin or Illiyun, this is the book of the good souls. As for As-Sijjin, this is the book of the evil souls. May Allah not put our names in that book. Ameen. Tonight's question, which are the qualities of the mosque mutawallis, the masjid committee people? What are the qualities Allah describes? Allah describes them in the Quran, in a verse, as mentioned in the Quran. What are the qualities that they have? Do they fast a lot? Are they good public speakers? They don't fear anyone other than Allah? And they are only men. Which one is it? Right? Which one is it? Right? And this applies to Johannesburg and Durban masjids as well. Oh, alhamdulillah. Please visit our website, buranul.org.za. Join the mailing list, 084-222-1308. And we're wishing all our learners and students excellent exams. May they study very hard this weekend. Ameen. Our du'as are with them. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam wa sallam. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa barakatuh.